I invite you to join together in our call to worship. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy. To us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Eternal God, our praises join with the songs of heavenly choirs and the music of the universe. May these books encourage our praise and lift our singing to your throne as faithful prayers in times of joy as well as in times of sorrow. We praise you, O God, with trumpeter sound. We praise you with strings and pipes. Trusting in Jesus Christ, we dedicate these books in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, as we come together to worship and to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we recognize that in the world there are many things that over which we have no control. And there are people in need of special prayers and our thoughts and God's ever steady hand of care. And so this evening we lift those concerns and those prayers, those people, as we turn our hearts and minds to God in intercessory prayer. Won't you join me? God of glory, by your grace, a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and in his name we pray. Wonderful counselor, we pray for wisdom for the world's leaders, that they may use their power to lift burdens and break the bonds of oppression. Mighty God, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ our Lord, that you will multiply and increase our joy as we share in the harvests you have gathered. Everlasting Father, we pray for families, friends, and loved ones, that those who now walk in deep darkness may see the great light of your saving love. Prince of Peace, we pray for an end to violence and warfare, that your authority may continue to grow until there is endless peace in every land. Lord of hosts, establish your holy realm with justice and righteousness from this time on and forevermore. Amen. Our first scripture reading on this holiest of nights comes to us from Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 2 and going through verse 7. I invite you to lend your ears to the hearing of God's holy word. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the oak that burdens them. the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading comes from us from the Gospel according to Luke, and is such a familiar story to so many of us. Lend your ears to the hearing of this reading. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They say that confession is good for the soul, and I need to confess. I labored for and studied for many, many weeks for the sermon or the message for this evening, and I prepared one, and I was going to try to at least partially imitate an angel, but those of you who know me knew that would be a stretch, and it was. And then yesterday, actually last night, in a discussion with a friend, my eyes landed on a book on a shelf that I hadn't looked at in years. And I knew what I needed to do for you this evening. So the other one is on a shelf, the other message is on a shelf, and one day I'll be worthy of being an angel, but not tonight. I invite you instead to hear these words as penned by Beth Moore in her book, Jesus, the One and Only. And hear them as Mary speaks these words to you. Her body lay sapped of strength. Her eyes were heavily closed, but her mind refused to give way to rest. She ached for her mother. She wondered if she even yet, believed her. She heard a labored breathing of the man sleeping a few feet from her. Only months before, he was a little more than a stranger to her. She knew only what she'd been told and what she could read in occasionally shy glances at his face. She'd been told he was a good man. And over the last few days, she found out he was far more than a good man. No man, no matter how kind, could have done what he had done. She wondered how long it had been since he had really rested. A calf, only a few days old, awakened hungry and could not find its mother. The stirring of the calf awakened the baby, who squirmed to find his mother. Sacredly, before she could move her tender frame toward the manger, he began to wait. She scooped him in her arms, her long hair draping his face, and she quietly slipped out of the gate. She gingerly sat down and leaned against the outside of the stable, propped the baby on her small lap, and taking a strip of linen and tying back her hair, she began to stare into his tiny face. She had not seen him yet in the light. She had never seen the moon so bright as it was on this evening. The night was nearly as light as the day. And only hours old, his little chin quivered, not from the cold, but from the sudden exposure of birth. His eyes were shaped like almonds. And were black as the deepest well. She held him tightly and quietly hummed a song she had learned as a child. She had been so frightened of this moment, so sure she would not know what to do. She'd never held an infant so small. And he was God, wrapped in soft infant flesh with bones so fragile she felt like he could break. She had pictured this moment so many times. What would the Son of the Spirit look like? She never expected him to look so normal, so common. Must have been. She had pictured this moment, and it must have been a part of his inheritance from his mother. She was so sure she'd feel terribly awkward, so afraid she'd drop him. The Messiah, the God, would be awfully sorry he had given her this wonderful child. Instead, every fear, every doubt, every inadequacy was momentarily caught up in the indescribable rapture of a mother's affection. She remembered asking Elizabeth things she dared not ask her father or mother. Once, when they were walking together at the end of the day, the wind blew her cousin's robes against her, and like a curious teenager, Mary tried her hardest to catch a good glimpse of Elizabeth's round middle. At the time, she herself had no physical evidence that God's promise was really true. But she had enough faith to ask endless questions. What am I to do when he comes? Her cousin's reply would remain etched upon Mary's heart long after he had saved the world. He will tell you what he needs from you. Beyond what he needs, all he wants is for you to embrace him and to talk to him. She looked back into his delicate face and watched him closely as he seemed to stare deeply into the moonlight sky. And she began to talk. Sweet baby boy, do you know who your daddy is? Do you know your name? Do you know why you are here? What do you see when you look out there? Can you see the stars? Do you remember their names? Do you think I'll do okay? Will you love me? A tear dropped from her chin to his. He yawned and made such a funny expression that she grinned, wiping her face on the yellowed rags she draped around him. The fussing calf had obviously found its mother. Not a sound was coming from inside the stable. The earth was completely still. The infant slept. She held the babe next to her face, and just for a moment, the entire world was silent except for the breath of God. She closed her eyes and listened, stealing time like a hidden metronome, as high and as wide as she dared to think. But she could not imagine or begin to comprehend. She was a common child of the most humble means who had never read the scriptures for herself. And here she was, embracing the incarnate world. The fullness of the Godhead rested in her inexperienced arms, sleeping to the rhythm of her heart. This time, she hummed a song she did not know, a song being sung by a choir of angels hovering over her head, but hidden from her carnal senses. The deafening alleluias of the heavenly host were silent to all the mortals whose ears expect to know the sound of a young woman's voice who had unknowingly given birth. The glory of God filled the earth. Heaven hammered a bridge, but one young woman sat completely unaware of all that swelled the atmosphere around her. The tiny baby boy had robbed her heart. So this is how it feels to be a mother, she mused. She crept back into the stable, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger. just down the path. The sun was peeking gently over the roof of an inn full of barren souls who had made no room for him. Just down the walk, the inn was full of barren souls sleeping who had made no room for him. On this night of all nights, after hearing some of the imagined thoughts of Jesus' mother, of Mary, whose heart was drawn to God and who was God's vessel to come and be with us, then, now, and forever. On this evening, I invite you to open your hearts. Open your hearts and allow the Christ child to make his home in your heart. The greatest gift given to any of us. Tonight, some of you are going to go back to your homes. Tomorrow, you're going to gather in homes. And I'm sure there'll be at least a package or two unwrapped as you exchange gifts with one another. I'm looking forward to that. I know you are, especially some of you younger ones. But the gift given to us that is greater than anything money can buy is that baby of which we just sang, who came to be God with us and who continues to be God with us. And so, as we unwrap the package, we receive the gift. And there is no greater gift. As we prepare our hearts and minds to receive this gift of communion, I invite you to join together in our prayer. Light of the world, you gave us the transforming birth of the child Jesus as a light for our path. Yet we confess that we shut our eyes to the light. We admit that we do not want to see the gift you have given us. We acknowledge our reluctance to see and to share our gifts with our sisters and brothers. We are often dazzled by the glitter and tinsel the world has made of Christ's birth. We ask that your spirit be lit within us, that we may share your gifts of peace and justice with all people. We seek to receive and return the gift of Christ's birth and death again and again. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, believe the good news of the gospel. All our sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ was born this day in the city of David, And he has taken our guilt, he has taken our sins, and we are forgiven people because of God's grace and love. Amen and amen.